So months ago, before the pandemic began, I took a fairly long hike along the Aiea Ridge Trail. It may have been the highest I have been on the island, and my little hiking book noted that I might see remnants of the native forest that once generously populated the island. Sure enough, there were pockets of Ohia lehua quietly trying to survive among the clouds, chased all the way up the mountainside. It made me think of one of Mary Oliver's short poems, The Old Poets of China, which goes like this. Wherever I am, the world comes after me. It offers me its busyness. It does not believe that I do not want it. Now I understand why the old poets of China went so far and high into the mountains, then crept into the pale mist. The Ohia Lehua may indeed be like the old poets of China. They too have gone far and high into the mountains. They too have crept into the pale mist. The impact of a busy and traveled world have decidedly pushed these poets further and further into the sliver of landscape they can endure. And perhaps one altogether. What would it take to keep these living members of this island community here? And if they can't be a part of this community, what does that fact say about the community's boundaries? Now, is it too much to connect these trees to the gospel reading today? Matthew is writing and remembering Jesus' words for a specifically early Jewish or Jewish Christian community. He is pulling from old priestly Hebrew traditions of reconciliation and community health. He also seems to be reinventing these traditions anew for a specific case of individual or community wounding. What does it mean to reconcile and to draw healthy community boundaries for the sake of good and holy relationship? Matthew's Jesus uses a conversation of ancient text to current context in order to address this question. And this is our call and responsibility too, as we come to ancient texts. What does reconciliation mean for our times, for this community, for you, and for me? I can tell you this is a particularly unsettling topic on which to be preaching for my first Sunday here. To highlight community wounding in a community that I have just entered feels particularly vulnerable, risky, and a little intense. Perhaps it is only a refreshing naming that we are all human. We are broken, and we are healers both. And we will be human to one another. But the very fact that the consideration of reconciliation now falls only to human community may be in a large part a failure of our current religious imagination. And why I wish to emphasize this extension of relationship to include the land, the trees, and the life of the land is the entire point of this sermon. Reconciliation takes time, and it takes consistent work. It is the work sometimes of years. Often, it is the work of a lifetime. In the Midwest, where I am from, farmers have learned that topsoil can be lost in a matter of years by poor soil management. But to create soil, to bring it back, on the other hand, is the work of centuries. To make whole again, to bring back to health, is long work. The earth teaches us this. The work of tending to the Ohia teaches us this. Why then do we expect it to be different for us humans, who are also part of this earth? One of the many things that I learned last year as a student chaplain was that the work of reconciliation is one of the things that often accompanies our dying. Ira Byock, a hospice doctor, details in his book, Dying Well, story after story of the need at the end of life for reconciliation, to be forgiven and to forgive, to make whole what has been broken. This is not to say that reconciliation need be long work. I am only bearing witness to the fact that it often does. Wounds run deep, and our hurt is often hard to heal well, or to know how to heal well. Often they are too painful to even talk about. Often it is easier to cover the hurt or the hurting among busyness. Sometimes slow time, consistently trying and trying again, and even just being able to name the harm done, or to show up to the pain, are all part of the work of reconciliation. And it seems this is the work that Matthew's Jesus addresses. It takes not one attempt, but three different attempts, and even after this, questions remain. One commentary I read suggested that perhaps this is why the passage ends in prayer, where two or three gather and present their struggle, where they are honest about their failure of reconciliation even after several attempts. Here God is somehow in the midst. Matthew suggests that God is present in our coming together and our calling for help. As far as the topic for this Sunday goes, I am entering this community with its own unhealed wounds. Each of you with individual hurts and memories of hurting, and I with my own wounding and wounds. We will hold each other's stories for a time. Perhaps as we gather at different times, we may hurt each other and need to work at reconciling. But perhaps, too, we may help each other along the road of healing. Where we gather, God is among us, guiding us toward wholeness. I understand that the Ohia Lehua is one of the first trees to grow from newly hardened volcano flow. It is one of the first signs of life and renewal amidst the destructive and ravaging burns of land formation. It is a testimony that indeed life does rise from ash. Restoration does come, and we rest in this sacred promise as we continue our journeys of healing together.
Please rise for the hymn of the day, ELW number 374, Day of Arising.